You're listening to Vatican Radio. Catholic organisations working on HIV and AIDS began meeting in Durban on Friday ahead of the 21st International AIDS Conference due to open in the same South African city on Monday. The meeting, organised by Caritas Internationalis and the Catholic HIV and AIDS Network, in conjunction with local South African partners, brings together many Catholic groups playing a major part in providing diagnosis, care and prevention programmes for people living with the HIV virus. The Papal Nuncio to South Africa, Archbishop Peter Wells, and the Archbishop of Durban, Cardinal Wilfred Napier, were among those welcoming participants to the opening session of the three-day pre-conference. Another key speaker at the meeting is Father Robert Vitillo, Caritas Internationalis Special Advisor on HIV and Health. He talked to me about the goals of the encounter and the progress that faith-based organisations have achieved since the first International AIDS Conference was held in Durban in the year 2000.
The purpose of the Catholic pre-conference, and we have organized these types of pre-conferences in conjunction with every International AIDS Conference for many, many years. And the purpose is to bring together those who are involved in the work of Catholic organizations, both to share good practices and experiences, as well as the challenges they face, and then also to discuss some of the more specific faith-based and Catholic Church-related issues, like the ethical issues, the theological reasons why we give service and give service to all people in need, and then also to be able to pray together and prepare for this very large event of the International AIDS Conference.
Yeah, now it's 16 years on, isn't it, from the first global conference that South Africa hosted back in the year 2000. And so much has changed in the fight against AIDS since then. I think South Africa now boasts the largest HIV-AIDS treatment program anywhere in the world.
That is correct. And of course, the whole access to treatment, especially for developing countries, was born at the 2000 AIDS conference in Durban, South Africa. So it's a very significant thing for us to come back here now. There was a strong demand from the activists at the 2000 conference to end the kind of second-class citizenship of those people living with HIV in developing countries, and to insist that the world had to find a way to address the issues of funding and also to overcome the discrimination they were giving toward poor people by not allowing them to have treatment. And it was out of that conference then that very quickly the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria was founded, and as one of the ways to get large sums of money together to be able to make available to those low-income countries and institutions to be able to put people on treatment. And then also after that, the U.S. government started its PEPFAR program. So those have been the two largest funders of treatment programs in the low-income countries. But now more and more of these low-income countries are beginning to be able to contribute toward the costs of treatment. And certainly South Africa is one of those countries where they've been able to assemble their own domestic funds as well as these international funds.
So given this huge amount of progress that has been made in the fight against this virus, what would you see as the most significant challenges facing South Africa, particularly today?
A great deal has been done to put people on treatment in South Africa and many other countries, but we still have the problem that there are some people who don't have access to treatment, some in the very rural areas, some of the minority populations, ethnic minorities and other minorities, and also the fact that there's still a problem with getting people to be tested. So still almost 50% of all the people who are living with HIV do not know that they are living with it. And of course, if they're not on treatment, then they're much more likely to spread the virus, especially to their sexual partners. And even when they know that they are living with HIV, for example, many pregnant women now in South Africa and many countries are tested and put on treatment if they're living with HIV. Yet some of those women keep on the treatment until their baby is born. And if the baby is born without the infection, then they feel that they can stop or they're afraid to continue taking the medicines because of stigma and discrimination in their families and in their communities. And so right now we have more children being infected during breastfeeding than we have being born through the birth process of being infected or during pregnancy. So there are still problems with keeping people on treatment. And for that reason, the UNAIDS has launched what they call the 19-90-90 initiative. That means that we are looking to be able to get, by the year 2030, 90% of all of the people living with HIV to know their status, 90% of those who are living with HIV, so they're HIV positive, for them to be on treatment, and then 90% of those on treatment to have an undetectable viral load, which means that they stay on treatment for life, and therefore they have much less virus in their bodies, in their blood, in their sexual fluids, so that they're 96% less likely to infect other people.
Back in the year 2000 at that first conference, it's fair to say that the church was really perhaps pioneering the kind of treatment programs that have now become so standard and so much accepted throughout the region. What would you see as the church's role today?
Well, I think the church needs to continue its treatment programs themselves. We've had very impressive statistics in terms of what faith-based organizations, including the Catholic Church, what burden of care they assume. So in many countries in Africa, churches, not only Catholic Church, but churches and even some of the Muslim organizations are treating up to 40-50% of the people living with HIV in their countries. Also, those faith organizations reach out to the rural areas because they're present. They have dispensaries. They have clinics in so many places where the governments don't arrive. So we need to continue that kind of work on treatment. We need to make sure that we're really reaching out to people and encourage them to be tested voluntarily, but encourage them to be tested so they know their status and get on treatment as soon as possible. The churches have developed some excellent and creative treatment programs so that they bring the treatment to the communities rather than telling people they need to travel up to a day in order to get a month's supply of medicine. And then also the churches have a much more integral approach to treatment so that they're not only taking care of the physical bodies, but they're also taking care of the social situations. They're helping people living with HIV start their own self-help groups. And then they're also caring for the widows, the orphans, those people who are left behind of those who have died of AIDS-related causes.
Do you think that all this work has really helped to overcome the accusations that we were hearing a decade and a half ago that the church was part of the problem rather than part of the solution to HIV/AIDS?
I think that there's still some of those opinions in governments and even in some of the UN and other multilateral organizations. But more and more, I think the churches, and especially the Catholic Church, have been able to gather the data and show what we are doing and show that it's very positive and that it's an essential contribution to the national HIV programming. Just last year, Caritas Internationalis, together with UNAIDS and PEPFAR, the U.S. government's program, put together a book that gathers some of the data, because many times people would say, you know, you have good intentions, but you really, we don't know what you do, and you really need to have statistics. So we've gathered those statistics, and we've been able to prove the excellent record of service of the Catholic churches and, of course, some of the other churches as well. And then I think that, you know, we've shown the data, and we've also played a key role more recently on the whole issue of pediatric treatment, of treating children with AIDS, because we've made good progress in getting adults on treatment, but we've made far less progress on getting children on treatment. And so in April of this year, Caritas Internationalis, together with others, and also the Ospedale Bambino Gesù of the Vatican, we gathered some of the big experts on church-related programming for children in Rome at Bambino Gesù. We had more than 100 participants where we, again, looked at the situation of children with HIV and looked at the obstacles to getting more children on treatment. All of the UN people were there, a number of governments were there, and we were able to identify those obstacles and come up with an action plan to address the needs of children in a much more comprehensive way. And then we also, with the help of Cardinal Turkson, the president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, had two closed-door meetings in the Vatican Academy of Sciences with governments, with UN agencies, and with the heads of pharmaceutical and diagnostic companies, to try to develop a specific action plan for moving forward to overcome those obstacles to pediatric treatment. And out of that now, and we'll be talking more about this during the conference, the main conference here in Durban, there's a decision to have a super fast track for children. To me, this is the first time children are getting so much attention in the very large agenda of the International AIDS Conference.
My thanks to Father Robert Vitillo, Caritas Internationale Special Advisor on HIV and Health.